Hi, this is Clint Baldwin, director of the Center for Peace and Justice and director of the Center for Global Studies and assistant professor of international studies at George Fox University on Reaching Up with Don.
Activated. New York, London, Paris, Munich, everybody talk about
Reaching Up with Don Fass. Don Fass.
This is Don Fass, and we're reaching up again right now. All together in 204 countries with great in-person guests and music. So here we are in Portland, Oregon. A big change for us. And after 4 weeks, I'm still getting used to a whole new environment. But before a really passionate and exciting guest joins us at George Fox University in nearby Newburgh, some reflections. Portland is very green in every way. Public transport, buses, and the MAX train are great. Downtown is really nice and compact, spread out around its central point, Pioneer Courthouse Square. And whatever you've heard, Portland is a very spiritual place, with 13 megachurches, each with 2,000 to 5,000 people in attendance. And I've enjoyed worship at 4 of those already. Plus, Portland has 17 synagogues, and I've been to 2 Shabbats in the park. Really lovely and very uplifting. Portland's also got Quaker George Fox University, that we're at today, and Concordia and University of Portland campuses, and secular universities are here as well. Also the Oregon Jewish Museum, that I'll take you to in a few weeks. And music and entertainment? Well, I already saw Newsboys founder Peter Furler in Third Day at the Fish Fest concert. Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith are in this week. Sandy Patty, Casting Crowns. Israel's Edan Raquel, Chris Christopherson, Merle Haggard, and David Crowder are in soon. And this weekend we have the Northwest Music Fest just ended. I also saw a really good Oregon Symphony season opener out on the river. And Portland's got a Christian newspaper, a Jewish newspaper, and a Catholic newspaper, and 5 Christian contemporary music stations broadcast from here or beamed into Portland. Really cool for a city of about 500,000. And this week, we're at George Fox University in the Newburgh suburb, and its director of the Center for Peace and Justice, Clint Baldwin, will be joining us for an unforgettable, passionate look at social justice and helping our neighbor. But first, former Newsboy Peter Furler's new song, Reach.
You hold the weight of the well, still I don't slip through your hands. Your love is bigger than just a notion built by man. I fall again and again, but you whisper, we'll be right back.
This is Don Fass, and we are in Newburgh, which is, I don't know, 15, 20 miles outside of Portland, Oregon. And, Clint, we're on the campus of George Fox University. So first, let me ask you to tell our listeners what George Fox University is.
Yeah, good morning. Really glad to be here and having this interview with Don. Really appreciate the invitation. George Fox University is a historic Quaker institution, and we still adhere to those roots, which means that we care passionately about the peace testimony. We care passionately about those who are often marginalized out in any number of forms outside of society. But we are also a deeply evangelical institution. And so we bring those two streams of faith together. So holiness traditions, really walking into living for Christ. What does it mean to have a personal relationship? Really, and in some senses, we never have a personal relationship with Christ. We always have an interpersonal relationship with Christ. We learned about Christ from someone, and we share Christ with others. So we bring this social justice stream, and we bring this really personal engagement with God, the incarnation, the enfleshed, you know, God of the world, together. And we say, how are we going to walk this forward in the world? That's a little bit about George Fox University. It's been here since the late 1800s. It's gone through a number of permutations over the years to the point where we still have a number of faculty who have been Quaker, multiple generations often, and students who are coming through are Quaker, but a broad constituency of students, including Protestants, Catholics, and some from no faith background really whatsoever, but that we ask if they're here that they sign this statement that says they recognize that this is a community, and there are certain standards of living within a community, broad standards, and based around citizenship orientations, et cetera, and so forth. So we try to both welcome people at the table, but also let people know what the table looks like.
This is also a liberal arts college, I believe, and it's also a seminary.
Yeah, it's a liberal arts university, and so we have all of the traditional humanities. We also have professional programs, including nursing and business and physical therapy. And we have graduate programs, which also include psychology, the seminary. So you have theology degrees, doctor of ministry degrees. Let's see. I think I've listed a good number off the top of my head there. And of course, all the athletic programs that go with that as well, soccer and swimming and football and et cetera. Yeah.
Let me ask you about your own background and how you came to being at George Fox.
Okay. That's a large question. My wife and I both work here at George Fox University, and that was part of the draw for us. I'd been teaching at Asbury Theological Seminary in Kentucky, and had taught previously at Asbury College as well. And my wife as well had taught at Asbury College, and we were beginning to look and was working at the seminary too. And we had felt it was time to move, but we weren't sure where. And so we started the process of looking, and had the opportunity to move to potentially a number of different places, but chose Fox due to the community. We didn't have family out here, but we felt that this was the kind of place where acquaintances could become almost extended family. And really, we found that to be true. So my wife happens to be a university pastor, dean of spiritual life as well. I teach international studies. I direct a Center for Peace and Justice, and I direct a Center for Global Studies. We live two blocks from campus, so our ecological footprint is pretty small. Students have access to us, and we have access to students on a pretty regular basis, almost 3-4 times a week at least. They're over at our home in the evenings. For our family, families do things differently, and there's room for that. But for our family, we try not to compartmentalize a lot. We see occupation as vocation for us, and so we try to bring all of that together and find some form, some days are better than others, of healthy rhythm. So that's a little bit about myself and how we've come to be here. Part of what we found, we were not specifically Quakers when we came here. We formally associated ourselves with Quakers, with the society, Religious Society of Friends. Friends is often how they're called as well when we came. But what we had found is, unbeknownst to us in many ways, we were Quakers long before we recognized it. People that we had been reading, that had been formative in our journeys, our faith journeys, we had just skipped over it as we were reading, you know, blah, 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 they're Quaker, blah, blah, blah.
Now we read back and said, oh, they were Quaker. People like Richard Foster, Parker Palmer, etc., major figures of faith that had been formative in spiritual journeys for us. We found now we had another way in acting alongside them.
For those people who don't know, and that's probably most of my audience, how would you describe the Quaker movement and what it means in today's world as opposed to the rest of American Christianity?
Don, that's a good question. And the interesting part is the differentiation is probably less than people would expect. Of course, like any denomination, there's some different language that goes along with it. And then the similarity, though it seems closer, is also varied, and there's a little more differentiation. I would say this, as I mentioned, Quakers have a significant emphasis on the peace testimony and on social justice. Probably broadly within the Trinity, one of the aspects that Quakers focus on is the Holy Spirit as well. So within Quakerism, there's a significant emphasis on egalitarianism, on kind of flattening the playing field, saying that everybody can be involved. We are the body of Christ. We're all a royal priesthood, right? We're all chosen, kind of thing. That there's a time of silence. Often Quakers have silent meetings. They're unprogrammed. We attend a program meeting, which means simply we have a pastor like everyone else, and it looks very much the same, but we have a time of silence and contemplation within the midst of service where then everyone is offered the opportunity to speak back into the process. People from the congregation can speak back and say, this is what I hear the Lord having said to me, has put on my heart. And in fact, in Quakerism, it's incumbent upon you to speak. But then, if you're so moved by God, but then it's also incumbent upon you to let that go. And so we call it getting a sense of the meeting. So what has arisen in the midst of the congregation hearing the word from the Lord? And what do we walk away with as a community? There's a strong communal and community emphasis rather than a more of an individualistic emphasis, which we've gotten sometimes, I think, over and against the scriptures due to our current society. Let's see, what else would I offer? Those are a good number, I think, of initial orientations for Quakers that might differ just a piece from maybe some of the typical ways people have walked into following Jesus.
Now, how is that incorporated into the center you run? And then I'm going to ask you another question along with that. If there's contemplation, if there's speaking to the meeting and listening, what about action?
Okay, Don, I'm going to try to, I won't be completely linear here. So, but I'll do my best. Well, one of the first things, Thomas Merton talks about this, and when I was teaching at Asbury Seminary, I led groups to the Abbey of Gethsemane there, and we did much work with the Cistercian Trappist monks there. And I would suggest that contemplation within it, if it's to be true contemplation, also embodies activeness within it. Often, see, that's a misnomer, I think, when we think of monasticism, when we think of contemplation, that for some reason we don't see that in and of itself as a form of doing. And then out of that deep well that arises, then to move forward into other forms of life. So we always talk about that contemplation is one side of action, and action is another side of contemplation. Those things, we ought to think as we do, and we ought to do our thinking. So we try to bring those together holistically. I would suggest this as well. One of the things we do here at George Fox University in our Center for Peace and Justice is we try not to narrow cast, but broadcast. We're broadcasting here to broadcast peace and justice. So in the past, to some extent, sometimes you and I were just before the interview started talking about language is absolutely necessary. It's what connects us. But often the very thing that connects us that we need also keeps us from one another, puts up a wall and a hurdle to get to one another. So sometimes in the past, Quakers' particular form of language about peace kept people from it. Because people would think, well, I don't really talk about peace in just this way, so maybe I don't have anything to do with peace. Working on doing is saying, listen, if you're going to follow Christ in the world, you have to be about peace and justice. Now, there are many, many ways that you can be involved with peace and justice. The table is open. And you are welcome to it. There's all kinds of different foods which are already there. You can bring more. It's almost like a large potluck we're having together. And once we recognize that there is a gospel call and mandate for all of us to be about peace and justice, then we can talk about the beauty of the diversity of the ways in which the body of Christ can work, how it's all needed. But also then we can start to have more discussions with one another after we enter into that relationality together, saying, oh, well, maybe you want to think about tweaking this. Or maybe you want to think about tweaking this. But what we really want to affirm is people digging deeper into their own traditions, saying, well, here's how maybe Friends and Quakers can offer an aspect which may have been somewhat neglected in your tradition. And you can bring that back and strengthen your tradition. And we want to learn from you and say, what in our tradition might have been missing to some extent? And what can you offer us that we can then take away and walk forward with?
Reaching Up with Don Fess. Don Fess.
Recently, members of my family learned how powerful natural disasters can be when a tornado ripped through their town. But you know what? The Red Cross was there to help. I'm Demi Lovato for the American Red Cross, asking you to text message the word GIVE to the number 24357 and donate $5 to the Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund, where they can provide shelter, food, counseling, and other assistance to victims of disaster. That's GIVE to the number 24357. You can send up to 5 text messages, so please text today.
We're back with Clint Baldwin at George Fox University.
I'm not going to name names when I tell you this, but over the last couple of years, I've been amazed. I consider myself a progressive. Again, what does that mean,
yeah,
you know,
well,
label-wise?
Being progressive is much better than being regressive.
I would hope so.
Whatever that would be.
I would hope so. But So I have a lot of progressive friends or liberal friends or
sure.
social activist friends. But I've found over the last couple of years, we certainly don't all think alike.
No, that's true.
Then I have, more than I've ever had in my life, an incredible number of, quote, conservative friends. And the liberal friends will say, well, how can you be friends with that person? Look at their reputation and so forth. And when I said I'm not going to name names, sitting down with a famous from the past, way past, that's as much of a clue as I'll give, Christian Singer, who's now a social activist and conservative, very conservative. And we did an interview about pop music,
sure.
not about politics, and our audience loved it. Until they heard the same guy on a Christian network talk politics, and they apparently didn't know how far to the right he was. So I got emails asking, how can you sit down with this guy? And the answer is, we can all sit down with each other if we listen, if we're willing to learn, and if we're willing to see what the commonality is. And that's what you were actually talking about.
Yeah, I think especially being at a university, part of our mandate, part of our missional orientation is to expose ourselves to various viewpoints and to find out we're too good at finding out how we differ, but to work hard at saying, in the midst of those differences, not erasing them, not pretending they're not there, but saying, in the midst of them, what do we have in common? What are our points of similarity? And how can we focus on those and maybe increase those? So one of the things we focus on is really, as C.S. Lewis would talk about, a mere Christianity. We look at the core of the gospel, love of God and love of neighbor. And if we not only start there, but if we dig deeply and stay there, that's a pretty good place to be, right? When Christ was asked, how would you sum up, what is the most important commandment? What are the, and he would say, this is the summation of them all. Within this, they're all embodied, love of God and love of neighbor. And so we really focus on that because we do. We have people from all different constituencies. We have people from all different backgrounds. And I'll tell you this, historically, we've seen this in our own country as well as around the world. We're worse off when we don't come to the table and talk to each other. The animosity just builds, and what was a small molehill becomes a mountain. It doesn't mean it's easy to be at the table together, but it doesn't mean just simply because you're having a conversation with somebody that you agree with every single point they have. But that relationality, that relationship is vital. And I think we see that in the life of Jesus, that Christ saved his harshest invectives for people who are already within the camp and in some senses should know better. But for people who are outside or participating in a different way within the world, within a different language set, we find Christ coming alongside, walking and saying, let's figure out how we can start a relationship together and walk forward and see what that might look like. That's what we like to do here.
I have a sense, I'm generalizing, of course, but that one of the things that's going on in this country is that on the one hand, you have people who say they're God people.
Sure.
But there doesn't seem to be a walk in terms of how they treat other people. On the other hand, you have a lot of social activists, this goes back to the 60s, who are kind of running their own show. Mm-hmm. And God's kind of an afterthought. And I think maybe those discussions have to take place as well as the political ones, as well as the how do we help our brother? How do we help our sister? How do we live the Sermon on the Mount?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Don, polarization is, I haven't seen it to be helpful. And so, again, it comes back to, as a peace and justice program here, where we also, I teach international studies here at George Fox University, and then we run global studies. So we send our students around the world, and we hope that they learn from the people they're with. We also hope that they share what they know with whoever they're with, and then bring those things back here and breathe back into our community. I think you're right, but who we are as a peace and justice program, we feel Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And so we are not shy about talking about that. We are trying to follow Christ and in Christ's footsteps. Now, we recognize that has been done exceptionally poorly many times in the past, almost antithetical to what we would probably think are gospel orientations that Christ talked about in redeeming and in fulfilling the law in the way that it was meant to move forward. God's mission for all people in the world. We're working at trying to embody that in a better way than it has been in the past. And we see partnership as a significant part of that, as bridge building, connecting people together as part of that. I think you're right. Being holistic is important. It's hard, though, right? Because at any given moment,
it's very difficult.
We have strengths in one area and weaknesses in another. But again, that's where we say we can't do everything. We need one another, and it's okay if we're not doing it all, as long as we acknowledge that we're not, and say, well, these people are doing this. Why don't you go see them? They'll help there, and we can help there, and all together. I mean, to use that broad, speaking of language that has baggage, but I think is important, it takes a village. We're all better together than we are apart. I just wrote a proposal to the White House this summer, and we got it accepted, and we have joined the President's Interfaith and campus, the President's Interfaith and Campus Community Service Challenge, close to that. And what we said, so we, 200-some schools, universities, joined together that kind of said we're better together than we are apart. And at the end, Eboo Patel spoke, interfaith practitioner, and he said...
And I just want to tell you that we've had people from IFYC on air, and I know who he is.
Great. He made a quote from 1893 from the Parliament of the World Religions, a long time ago, but it's still pertinent. And it said, we are going to stop making war on one another and instead make war on the ills of the world. And that's just the kind of people we want to be here at Fox. We want to have deep theological discussions, but we don't want to have the idea of being right get in the way of loving one another, which in a sense is the most right we can be. If we're doing this, we just had in chapel today, we had a sermon on 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And if we forget all of those things, what does it really matter?
And for those people who don't know, basically, 1 Corinthians 13, Paul writes that if we've got a whole long list of things, including faith,
yes,
but don't have love,
we're nothing.
We're nothing.
And this is where we talk about the God who is actually co-named love. If we don't have that, then we've really missed the boat. We don't want to miss the boat. And in fact, we want to be on it, and we'd love other people to float with us and alongside us.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
This is Don Fass. Join us next weekend and keep reaching up.
And be sure to tell us where you're listening. Write me at reachinguprradio@gmail.com. reachinguprradio@gmail.com.
This is the Celebrate Radio Network.
Radio Network.
From Seattle to Paris, Bangkok to Jerusalem.